Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The theological forecast is in, and it appears the winds are blowing to the east. This is Wretched Radio. If and you were paying attention, give or take 15, 20 years ago, you started to hear anecdotes, individuals leaving evangelicalism because they'd had it up to here with the nonsense, the silliness, the skinny jeans, the repetitious music, the sound and light show. They wanted something more serious. I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers proof for those anecdotal observations. 80% increase in membership in the Eastern Orthodox Church in 2022, 60% of which are young, unmarried men. What does this tell us? Young guys, they don't want this sissified Christianity, this limp-wristed nonsense entertainment, these well-coiffed preachers with their designer clothing, with the fifth-rate rock concert they put on. Anybody can observe that and go, this is supposed to be about God? This is supposed to be what I'm staking my life on? It's fifth-rate entertainment. Why would I believe this nonsense? And they go to the Eastern Orthodox Church because they think they're finding something muscular. And when I say muscular, I mean actually muscular. Not like metaphorically, like, oh, it's really tough on theology and doctrine and false teachers. No, I mean, it's like physically demanding. And that's appealing to young men. Why? Because they want an assignment. I don't think it's just this generation, but it has been noted and observed by many that Gen Z, it really started with the millennials. The millennials, they wanted work that had meaning. They didn't want to just get a paycheck. I want to feel like I'm making a difference. Well, I think fertilizer got put on that with the next generation. They absolutely, positively want to be involved. They want to do something for a cause. They don't want to be sitting on the benches, but they're waiting for somebody to call them. And guess what? They're hearing the siren sound of Eastern Orthodoxy, and they are running to it. An article from The Telegraph in the UK. Young men leaving traditional churches for masculine Orthodox Christianity. Disillusioned with the feminization of the Protestant church and attracted to the, in quotes, authenticity of Orthodoxy, which they claim pushes them physically and mentally. As you're going to hear, they dig it. We stand up for like 5 hours for church. See, it's demanding. And they translate that into, therefore, it must be authentic because they're asking us to do hard things. And evangelicalism has been doing the exact opposite. We have not been asking hard things of our young people. Instead, we've been amusing them all the way to the Eastern Orthodox Church. Most of the new converts found the Orthodox Church by watching YouTube videos or listening to podcasts. And I share that to remind us that social media, it is a harvest field. YouTube videos, podcasts, and in fact, we'll talk about this another day because it's agitating enough to talk about one big work righteous system instead of two, but there's the number one podcast in the first several days in 2025 is about the rosary. And people are finding that podcast, and the guy's beating Joe Rogan. We got to be in the podcast game. We got to be in the YouTube business. If we want to find people where they spend time, where their eyeballs are located, we got to be there. Got to throw in, if you don't mind me saying so, that is precisely why Fortis Institute has added the new theologians that we added in 2024. That is why we are increasing our podcast. We got a new one coming up pretty soon. Can we talk about Libby yet? Or is that still off the...
No, we can talk about Libby.
We can talk... She's starting February...
7th.
Exactly what I said. February 7th. Ladies, just for you. Truthfully, a man would benefit from listening because you'll start to understand your wife better. Libby is a biblical counselor. She's currently pursuing her doctorate in biblical counseling at the Master's University. She has her master's in biblical counseling, and she's going to be talking about issues that are of particular interest to women. And it's going to start February 7th. And we're praying it's going to be as successful as the launch of these other podcasts, which are all in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide. That's crazy. That is crazy. But thrilling, because we want to be in the game. Let's see if we can knock the Rosary Show off the top of the heap, because that's not what people need when you hear it. Your eyes are going to cross. But enough eye crossing. Let's go back to Eastern Orthodoxy. What really drew me to Orthodoxy, said one, was the structure, the guidance, the authenticity, and here comes the historicity. I think I wrote about that in about 2015 when it comes to your kids. They want to be connected to the past. So make sure your kids know they are. It's through faith, not a system. But this young man, he joined. It was after the pandemic, they really started to see a great rise in the number of members. 60% men. Worshippers must stand for long services, which can last upwards of 5 hours, which puts emphasis on denial and pushing yourself physically. It kind of bums me out, quite honestly. These people that are looking for something, yeah, this is serious. And they think standing for 5 hours kind of fills that gap. I got an alternative. How's about a Christianity that demands not just standing for 5 hours on occasion, demands your life, demands the totality of your being, that demands that you surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ and his benevolent reign. You want something hard to do? Be a born-again Christian who loses his old identity, old desires, his obstinate will, and surrenders in subjection to Jesus Christ. That's hard. You give up what your flesh wants to do the better thing, which is the better thing. Just this morning, Mrs. Friel and I, over coffee, were chatting about open theism, and Greg Boyd's his argument is, hey, if God knows all the details of the future, that means we don't have a genuine free will. This whole, why free will, like it's the most important thing in the world. I just don't understand it. I'm not trying to be snarky about it. I just don't get it. But I reject the premise, like it's bad to be an automaton. That's what Greg says. What? We're not automatons. And I've seen the audience because I hosted a debate with him once. And everybody goes, yeah, we don't want to be automatons. And it's like, wait a second. I actually reject the premise. I want to be an automaton. Here's a question for you. Is your way better than God's way? Is your intellect higher than his? Is your decision-making capability greater than God's? And I think you answered no, and no. Then why don't we want him to control us totally? Why do we kind of bristle at, well, I've got to be making genuine decisions? You know what? I don't care about genuine decisions. I know we get to make them. I do know that. But I don't care. I want to make his decision because his ways are always better than my stupid ways. He always knows what's best for me. He knows it. And that is why we surrender to him. And it's hard because our carcass wants fun and it wants fleshly things and it wants to do things our way and it wants to be lazy and it doesn't want to have to stick our necks out to witness for Jesus Christ. It doesn't want to hold things loosely in our hands, but that's what Jesus demands from us. He wants it all. And we should happily give it to him because he's worthy of it. He just does better by us than we do by ourselves. Isn't that ironic? We just think we got this nailed. We don't. He does. And he wants us to live a genuinely abundant, joy-filled life. And the path to that is by following him in all of his ways. And that's hard, but it's also more profound. And it's more gratifying and satisfying and more enjoyable and deeper and on levels that most of us never even imagined that we could go to because we didn't even know that they existed. That's Christianity. Not standing around for 5 hours. They stand for these long services. They have to fast, sometimes up to 40 days. Some felt that was in stark contrast to other religious denominations where they felt the church had been feminized. That is, whoa, that should make our blood boil because so many of these churches that are putting on a show and offering life hacks and not calling people up and not letting them know the demands, the light demands. His commandments aren't burdensome, but letting them know this is what your God wants for you. This is what he desires for you. And because we've abandoned that sort of preaching and teaching, what's happened? Eastern Orthodoxy is getting populated. You say, what's the problem? I say, glad you asked. We'll explore the theology of Eastern Orthodoxy next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, here at Fortis Institute, we've got a lot going on. We've got our latest webinar coming up January 20th with Virgil Walker, where he and Todd will discuss the disturbing theology of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's going on January 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned for more details. Also, coming up February 7th, The Better Way debuts with Libby Glosson. And trust me, ladies, you don't want to miss this. And what else is happening here at Fortis Institute? Well, we just learned that all of our brand new podcasts that began just in October of last year have come in ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts in the entire world. And that's happened only because of your support. We thank you for all of the support that you've shown us here at Fortis Institute. And if you would like to support us even further by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, then we would welcome you with open arms. Find out more about what that would look like in your life by logging on right now to fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we know Martin Luther King Jr. as a civil rights hero, but what did he believe about the Bible, salvation, and God? You'll find out January 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern as Fortis Institute hosts a free live webinar titled The Disturbing Theology of Martin Luther King Jr. Todd Friel, Virgil Walker, and Jason Allen will explore the controversial side of MLK's faith. Why did he reject substitutionary atonement? Did his liberal Protestant roots overshadow biblical truth? And how did secular influences like Gandhi shape his views on faith and activism? Was King's theology spiritual or strategic? Did he tailor his beliefs to fit the civil rights movement at the expense of eternal truths? These are hard questions that haven't often been asked. Todd, Virgil, and Jason will tackle them live and unfiltered. Subscribe to the Wretched Fortis Institute YouTube channel and turn on notifications so you don't miss this thought-provoking webinar. Again, January 13th, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wretched Fortis Institute YouTube channel.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why that easterly wind is an ill wind. This is Wretched Radio. More and more people abandoning evangelical Christianity for what they believe is a more masculine, muscular version of Christianity called the Eastern Orthodox Church. Wasn't going to spend any more time in this Telegraph article, but I think it is so important that we hear this. And it will encourage you, dear pastor, if you have not abandoned the ways of preaching the Bible, calling people up, letting them know that God's ways are the best ways. And he does command you to get in alignment with his thinking, his will. Grace is free. Salvation is free. But now he wants to do things to you. He wants to transform you. He wants to mold you and shape you. And it does involve hard things like self-denial, like maybe giving my money to others rather than spending it on myself. Why? Not because I believe that this earns favor with God. That has been accomplished by Jesus Christ and him alone. But because I want to, the one who gave it all, I want to give. We preached on this on Sunday at AlphaRetaBibleChurch.org, that we're going to be receiving crowns. There's seven different types of crowns that are described in the New Testament that Jesus offers to those who persevere, who do good works, and these are who are faithful missionaries, who are faithful pastors, who are evangelists, that you're going to get crowns. And what are you going to do with them? According to Revelation 4, you're going to take them off your noggin and you're going to throw them at the feet of Jesus. You're going to fall down. You're going to lay your crowns at the feet of Jesus. The name is of mercy and love and the meaning of Jesus. That's what we're going to do with our crowns that he gives us. Why? Because he gave them we don't deserve a crown. And God is so abundant and lavish in his goodness. He gives us crowns. And that is why when we see him, we're going to know they don't belong on our heads. And we throw them at the feet of Jesus. That is the Christian life. That is our hope. That is our desire. And we do all of these things because we worship the God who gives us crowns and rewards us. Are you kidding me? You want to do a study? Go to your concordance, look up the word reward. Now, there's other ways that it gets phrased, but this will still, nevertheless, go look up the word reward and start in your Old Testament and start to look for all of the times that God says, I'll reward you, I'll reward you. I think of Abraham in Genesis 15, I'll reward you. He was faithful, called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he came and he was being faithful. And God said, your reward is great. We have a God who rewards, and because of his beneficence, we happily surrender all. That's biblical Christianity. Eastern Orthodoxy, it looks like it's hard, but it's a yoke. It's a heavy weight. A former Protestant church member felt his services were not all that different than his Saturday night in a bar. They had the same kind of lighting, same kind of music, same kind of the same feeling. And after reading the Gospels and the book of Acts, I knew that's not how they worshiped 2,000 years ago. I don't think I'm going to the right church. So he goes to Eastern Orthodoxy because it looks formal. And it is. And it's liturgical. And it's high church. And people are attracted to that. Now, am I suggesting that we evangelicals start doing high church? No. I'm not, because that does produce a distance between us and God. Yep, he's transcendent, but he is also immanent. And to lose that is a shame. We are brought into a relationship courtesy of the doctrine of justification. We're not going to forsake that for the sake of looking really religious to attract young men to our churches. But we can be a little more formal, couldn't we? Or more organized? Less casual? How's about organized and prepared? How's about that? I remember once being in a big church, and the worship leader, after singing the song, the dim lights, and you know, everybody's got their hands up, let's pray. Lord, I just, man, just like, wow. Hey, man. Really? Really? That's the prayer of the congregation today? Back to the article in the Telegraph, why these people are leaving. The majority of the leaders aren't good, strong men, says one, whereas the Orthodox church leaders are more like father figures. What do they see? These silly pastors prancing around. They see Pastor Sneaker. They see these. Boy, I'll tell you, if this current generation gets one thing, they get phony, don't they? they can tag you from 100 yards away. Phony! Youth group leaders coming. Look at the phony coming. They can just smell it. They can see it and sense it. And they're rejecting it because they know a man of God should be dignified. They just, we've so imbalanced ourselves toward imminence that we've lost transcendence and we've forgotten what we're doing. You know, I was looking at some videos of some Orthodox services, you know, and they're hoisting up the elements and, you know, the kissing and the bowing and all of that. And it's super formal. And people see that and they think, okay, that's getting warmer. These people, it's otherly. It's otherly. I don't think we need to don the robes. I don't think that we need the chalices and the swinging lanterns filled with incense. I'm not saying that. But how's about we start a service like we are entering into the worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? How's about that? Could we start there? Maybe we wouldn't be losing so many. Father Paul Trubenbach agrees that part of what is drawing young men to the Orthodox Church is because they naturally want to be masculine in the most positive sense of the word. And he's seen a number of converts in his congregation. They've tripled in number since the pandemic. Most of these are single young men in their 20s. Quote, it's a tougher form of Christianity. So they're I get to be a man. I'm going to grow a beard, a long beard, an untrimmed beard like Jimi Hicks, who used to trim his beard meticulously, but for some reason, he's just letting himself go in the new year.
Well, I'm sorry.
What was I channeling there? didn't even sound like my own voice right there. What are you going for?
I don't know. I've never done it before. And I thought, let me see what it looks like.
And that's all. Mrs. Hicks says what?
Don't let it get out of control.
You're getting close. Actually, you're not.
Yeah,
I think it was a dude at the gym. He had the kind of that square, the rectangular beard.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Basically, down to the middle of his chest. You know, right before his stomach meets his chest. Duck, it's like that's like, you know,
Duck Dynasty.
You should be selling cough drops. What I'm trying to say to you. It's a tougher form of Christianity. I think a lot of men have embraced that and realized this is a form of self-denial with real results. They don't. They can't. A real man isn't a dude who can grow a beard. A real man isn't a dude who can stand up for 5 hours during a church service. That's not what makes a man a man. Please go listen to Greg Gifford's podcast on biblical masculinity, profoundly helpful. There are certain masculine attributes that we have. Yeah, we can grow a beard when, we'll just say most women can't. That is uniquely masculine. That is uniquely male. But that's not what makes you a man. What makes you a man is an internal thing. Not how big your muscles are. That's a masculine attribute. That's a physical attribute. But that's not what makes you a stellar dude. What makes you a manly man is internal. And what is it? What does it look like? Well, you got to look at the model. That is Jesus Christ. And what do you see? Courtesy of Matthew 20, which is on my brain because that's what this Sunday sermon is about at AlphaRetaBibleChurch.org, is the desire to serve and to give and to sacrifice and to just be solid in service to the Lord, to family, to endure in a job, to be a reliable fellow, to be one who has his head on straight. Then you can start listing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what makes you a man. So be careful, young man, if you're looking to to press into your masculinity, go to the gym, but that does not make you a great man. What makes you a great man is that you see yourself as the lowest of men. That's God's economy. The last shall be first. And Jesus Christ, he made himself last. And guess what? He's the preeminent one. He's going to be first. This father from the Eastern Orthodox Church, men have started taking cold plunges as well as making fasts more extreme to push themselves. Take a cold plunge if you want to. That's not what Christianity is about. I can't find that Bible verse. The fasting, you could make a case, at least if you're Jensen Franklin. The cold plunging? Do that if you think there's health benefits. It's not what makes you a dude. You want to be a man? Want to be a man? There's one you can study. No, there's only one you should study. You're going to find him on every page in the Bible. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio.